The following is paid programming.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management. The Financial Guys and Independent Solutions are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, LLC. The political views on this show do not reflect the views of Peak Brokerage. This show is not intended to provide specific legal, tax, investment, or other professional advice. Please consult a professional for your specific situation. This radio show is for informational purposes only and is not intended to solicit or recommend any particular security. The information discussed is obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but its accuracy and completeness are not guaranteed.
It's time to talk money.
Watch out. Two misogynistic,
POTUS-loving,
egomaniacal idiots are about to spout their
political views
under the guise of a financial advice show.
It's the Financial Guys radio program with local financial experts Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas, member FINRA SIPC.
And if you don't think politics matters, for all you left-wing nutjobs that call in and say, you should talk money,
the market has been volatile for the Fed and trade. I think those two are political, huh?
Live from the WBEN studios.
Place where money meets politics.
We will talk some politics, a lot of politics. We do talk some money.
Now, here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
All righty, welcome back. News Radio 930 WBEN and WFTL down in South Florida for the first hour. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, we are the Financial Guys. This is the place where money meets politics. And I'm a little rusty, 2 weeks off in a row. That's really weird. Whenever any one of us, you know, once in a while, you'll take 2 weeks off or I'll take 2 weeks off, and it's just weird not being here. It's like I always say, you know, I measure my life by Saturdays, and I feel like we work all week, and then we're back here, and it's like, wow, where did the week
go? Blink of an eye.
Yeah.
The good news is we've got our podcast going, so it's like we've got that midweek, at least if you missed the Saturday show because you've got stuff going on with the kids or family, whatever, we can always vent during the podcast. If you haven't subscribed to that yet, by the way, you can find it on the iTunes store, or you can find it on the Android device as well, and everywhere that find iPods podcasts are found. So you can also go to our website at financialguys.com.
We're pretty new at that.
Every week. Yeah, we're getting there.
You know where they are.
It's everywhere. It's not everywhere. It's on Spotify.
It is.
I don't even know what Spotify is, but it's
there. It's the biggest and the best podcast you'll ever listen to.
Huge.
It's huge.
It's huge.
You'll love it.
Awesome.
You'll love it. Fantastic. Big show. The second hour, by the way, we have Lynn Dixon coming in. Lynn, going up against Mark Poloncarz. So, We've invited Mark, I don't know, 75 to 80,000 times on the show.
Yeah.
And on Twitter, he's got a pretty big mouth and says, oh, I'll show up anywhere, anytime, but never does. Never does.
Actually, I got a screenshot of that. I should put that out on Twitter again. Every
Which one? Where he was insulting our business?
No, not that.
Oh,
no. I haven't actually put that out there on Twitter yet.
Oh, no?
Not yet.
No,
I'm saving that for closer to the election season. But,
good.
No.
Good. Nothing like being attacked. Nothing like two small business owners being attacked by the county executive.
The one where he agrees, actually, that says, I'll come on anytime you guys want. I'd be happy to debate you on progressive politics.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah,
I'll put that back out there.
Yeah, he's always happy to until we invite him. And so we invited him again, and he is nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
Although my understanding is I did see him running down the 33 chasing a plastic bag. So
followed by two SUVs filled with security.
Sorry. Oh, with guns in them. With guns.
Security guards, right.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll talk about that in the in hour number two, I'm sure, with Lynn Dixon.
If you see Mark and you see him on the road grabbing some plastic bags out of his SUV, say, hey, Mark, can you just show up? Just even if you call in, you don't even have to come into the studio, you can call in. Just give the Financial Guys 10 minutes of your time because the people deserve it, right? Our listeners deserve it.
Yep.
We have to start with this. You sent me this before the show. New York Dems block bill expanding college tuition for Gold Star families.
Is that great?
After approving $27 million in tuition aid for illegal immigrants. And let us not forget the DREAM Act, right? The DREAM Act.
Yeah, such a wonderful thing. So the Democrats now passed the budget on Thursday night at
record
2
budget.
A.m.
Yes.
Record budget, $175 billion.
Now,
I want to mention to everybody that the Florida budget is about $80 to $85 billion.
Mm.
More people, half the budget.
Mm.
Half the budget.
Now, How does that work?
I don't know, but
the roads are awful down there. I mean,
well, they must be.
I can barely make it to our office every time I'm down there.
Well, they don't have any sort of natural disasters like hurricane.
Oh, no.
That's not at all.
They don't. It's not like they get tornado.
Ridiculous.
Oh. Yeah,
But this thing, I mean, we're going to talk about the budget in the first hour. The more I read into this, the worse it gets.
Yeah.
I thought it was bad that Andrew Cuomo gave himself a 40% raise. I thought it was bad when they decided to tax pain meds – by $100 million so they could transfer that same amount of money over to their political allies so that they could fund their own political consultants. I thought that was bad. But this has to be the lowest of the low. New York Democrats block bill expanding college tuition for Gold Star families after approving $27 million in tuition aid for illegal aliens.
Let me ask you, by the way, if you are a registered Democrat, how in the world are you a registered Democrat? And that does not mean, by the way, that most of us, I'm still a registered Republican. I continue to say I'm going to deregister and become a conservative, but I haven't done it yet. But how, if you're a Democrat, how in the world do you defend this? How in the world, what kind of human being are you to say we are going to not help Gold Star families with tuition, yet we're going to approve of $27 million in tuition aid for illegal immigrants? How are you driving around in your car right now saying, that's my party? Those are the people that I support.
This is why the Democrat politicians don't typically hold press conferences unless it's very well staged. They don't allow questions from reporters when reporters actually are willing to ask the tough questions.
Yeah. Well,
they can't.
Democrat voters would say. As far as I know, there's only one reporter. I think it's Dave McKinley in this whole town that actually has tough questions outside of News Radio 930 WBEN.
He is fantastic.
He's the only one. Hats off to Dave. You're the only guy with a set of stones that actually goes out and asks questions. You know, Poland Cars played this scam, and we'll talk more about that in the next hour, about, I feel threatened. Somebody left a package at my office. I need 24-hour surveillance. Well, we all know that was a lie or a hoax, or it was for attention, right? Somebody was looking for help. Dave is the only one that tried to go over there and knock on the door and say, this doesn't smell right. Can we explain this, right?
Nobody else.
Now, you and I did. We called out Poland Cars on Twitter a bunch of times and said, hey, there's about 1,700 cameras in your building. Why don't you release the footage of these bad people that dropped off the package? We want to find them.
Yeah,
well, and when we did that, by the way, he attacked us on Twitter. He was very nasty on Twitter, and it's pretty simple, right? Somebody drops off a package at Financial Guys. Oh, by the way, we do have cameras at our office. Guess what? If it's a threatening package, you know, it doesn't say urgent, meaning I need your help. It's actually a threatening package. Right. You better believe we're going to the media with that footage.
We're
catching those people, and not only for Mike and Glenn, but for everybody else. There's a homicidal maniac on the streets. Yeah. I want to catch him. We all knew. That was a joke, but the mainstream media has absolutely zero credibility, no interest in going after that story. That should have not only been an Erie County story, that should have been a national story.
The media in general, on a national level, a local level, I mean, at every level, has just gotten to a point of just negligence.
Yeah.
I'll say negligence. They're not even – and the thing is, like, when you listen to some of these montages, like, some folks put them up on YouTube. They're hysterical, right?
Yeah.
It's like the Democrat talking points go out in the morning. Here's the things that are okay to talk about. Here's the things that you can't talk about that you should avoid, like abortion or things like that.
Yeah.
And then they follow right along.
Right.
The word of the day is whatever the word of the day is. Gravitas. Remember that one? The word of the day is gravitas. So he doesn't have gravitas. All the reporters all the way down the line. I'll find a montage. We'll play it sometime. But they all follow each other. Like, is there no independent thought at all in that industry anymore?
Uh-uh.
What are they teaching? What are you getting your degree in when you go to a journalism school and you get a degree?
But
what classes do you take, and who in the world teaching these classes?
As taxpayers, by the way, we should be demanding that he pays for his own security and he reimburses. There was two things he said. Number one was somebody dropped off a threatening package at the office. We now know that was BS, right? Mm. The other thing was apparently somebody left something on his front lawn, but never did we actually get any information on it. Nothing was disclosed as to actually what was left on his front lawn. Was it a fruit basket?
I'd like to know
what that was. I mean, did somebody put a knife with a letter in his door? That would be threatening. I'd want to know that, right? The public should know that.
That's right.
Smells like garbage.
Right.
Yep.
It is garbage. We'll talk about that.
As taxpayers, we should be demanding our money back, demanding whatever it costs for him to be escorted around town. I want my money back. So we also got to talk about Maxine Waters.
Well, we'll get to Maxine Waters. We got Maxine Waters, Mad Max, who's the chairwoman of the Financial Services Committee in the House, doesn't have a clue that the Obamacare bill that she voted for took over the student loan industry Doesn't have a clue. We'll play that after the break. I want to just get back just for a second to this Gold Star family, because you asked the question, how do people walk around voting for Democrats? I want to answer the question. When you talk to Democrats that actually support this stuff, I mean, it's hard to support anybody with any sort of American anything would say, okay, rejecting Gold Star family free tuition program
too much
after approving a DREAM Act funding is not the right thing to do, right? But when if you ask a Democrat, they won't believe it.
No.
They won't believe it. They'll say, no, that didn't happen.
No.
No, that's not true. No, they didn't do that. They have to. In order to justify this type of stuff, in order to justify pulling the lever for a Democrat, I really think that people either are willfully ignorant, just ignorant in general, because they've refused to educate themselves on what these politicians stand for, or they are like a parallel universe where their reality is an alternate reality. In fact, you look at, I just tweeted something out this week, Comey said something, and the way he said it, I'm like, are you even in this same sphere of reality? Like, are you not seeing what's going on around you? Here it is. James Comey says, I've never thought of electronic surveillance as spying. So now, right?
No.
So, yeah,
no.
James, hey, Jimmy, tell yourself that enough times and maybe eventually you'll believe it. But to say it, and he says it with he believes it, right?
Somebody will have to find the clip, but somebody did question Andrew about this, and he said, well, hey, we've got time to go back around. You know what, Andrew? You're a scumbag.
Time to go back around. You're not going back around.
The absolute Gold Star family should be absolutely 1,000% the priority before one illegal immigrant gets a penny. There's so many people in this country struggling to pay their bills. 28% of Erie County residents, by the way, living in poverty. These are legal citizens, right? And instead, we're funding illegal citizens, and Gold Star families are getting nothing. It's a shame.
That's right.
And for that not to be a priority, that tells me a lot about how you think, Andrew. And by the way, you gave yourself a 40% raise this year.
I was just going to say.
As you're pulling back on funding for Gold Star families.
That's his priority. That's your
party, by the way. You're driving around, you're a registered Democrat. That's your party. You deserve it. We do not. You deserve him. We do not.
Let me play this real quick before we go to a break. It's only like 15 seconds, but just listen to the calm in his voice. And this is on our Twitter feed if you want to go see it.
Can I read this text?
No problem.
It was dog poop on his front lawn because the person walking the dog did not have a plastic bag to pick it up.
That's probably true. That could be true. What about those? Because you're banning single-use plastic bags.
Well,
I would assume that those are like doggy bags or single-use plastic bags, right? What about those now?
I don't know.
How do we handle that? Are we picking those up with paper bags? Because I'll decline. I'll decline. All right, let me play this quick.
All right.
With respect to Barr's comments, I really don't know what he's talking about. When he talks about spying on the campaign, it's concerning.
It's concerning,
because the FBI and the Department of Justice conduct court-ordered electronic surveillance.
Oh.
I have never thought of that as spying.
No. Oh, seriously. Come on. We conduct electronic surveillance. I never thought of that as spying. No. And the look on his face, he's looking up at the ceiling like, oh, gee, Billy.
I took the money out of the bank safe. I didn't actually think that was stealing.
Jeez, Jimmy, I never thought that it was.
No.
I mean, come on. You're that director of the FBI. Of course it's spying. Oh, no. It's electronic surveillance.
Well, they'll let these people. And we'll talk
Fantasy
more.
Maxine
Water, ranking member of the Financial Services Committee, forgot that the student loans were taken over by the government in 2010. We'll talk more about that on the other side of the break. If you want to call in, by the way, 1-800-616-9236. Whether you're down in South Florida, of course, here in our flagship office, 305 Spindrift, Western New York, 803-0930, *930 if you're local. And again, 1-800-616-9236. We do manage money for a living, folks. Have a ton of fun with this show. If you need our help, if you're down in South Florida, 561-614-2000. 614-2000. I'll get it right. Sorry, a little rusty. 2 weeks off. 561-614-2000. And, of course, here locally, 716-633-1515. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Our podcast during the week, you can find Apple Store, Android Store. So use this as a resource, folks. This is a place where money beats politics. We have a lot of fun with our show. Monday through Friday, we're managing money, whether it's help with Social Security. We've got certified Social Security claiming strategists, Medicare, and of course, registered investment advisors, certified financial planners, and the list goes on. We could help you with many things, so use us as a resource. And I'm just going to plug May 18th, by the way. We are going to be having a workshop for veterans at our office, and you qualify for a lot of different benefits that you might not know you qualify for. And so that's going to be really during our show. I think we're going to try to do the show live from our office May 18th, but we're going to have refreshments and giveaways. And if you're a veteran, you know, you can register for this. I think we're probably about noon to 3. And we're going to have different breakout sessions. So if you're interested in getting on that list, if you're a veteran, I would encourage you to pop by, spend some time with us, 633-1515, and get your name on the list. I think we're going to maybe try to buy some of David Bellavia's books. So the first 50 vets that sign up, we're going to give you a copy of his book. And I assure you, his book is incredible. So if you do anything, sign up, learn a little bit about some of the things that you might be missing out on if you're a veteran, and get a copy of David's book. We're going to buy some. So 633-1515 if you're local here in Western New York. And, of course, if you're not in South Florida, we have an office down in Palm Beach, but you're welcome to come up to Western New York and attend that if you're a vet. And if you need help down there or Buffalo, again, use this as a resource, thefinancialguys.com. And we're going to take a quick break. We'll hit the phone lines. Jerry and Harry. I'm not kidding. Jerry and Harry up on deck here on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Forget the extremists. It's simple. No one hunts with an assault rifle. No one needs 10 bullets to kill a deer.
You're listening to The Financial Guys, Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas. To reach Glenn and Mike now, call 803-0930. Toll free at 800-616-WBEN. And cell calls are free at star 930.
Say hi, it's Allie Lomas.
Hi, it's Allie Lomas. Welcome back to the Financial Guys.
Nice job.
Perfect.
All right, I got my 7-year-old. We're lining him up for the future.
Awesome.
We had Charlie Wiggle, actually. We had him on TV, and he actually took over the whole show.
He was the most popular show we ever had.
Like, Charlie, I'm like, he's like, sorry, Uncle Mike, the show's over.
check back in 30 minutes.
It was nice to have you on, though. Allie Lomas, my other daughter, Olivia, has been on multiple times, likes to come into the studio, and Allie never really gets a chat. So nice job, Allie. We'll get you back. We'll have you back on throughout the show, right? Good job. Come on. Don't be nervous. You did a good
great.
Job.
You did great. You did fantastic.
All right. What do you want to do? You want to hit these phone lines? We definitely got to play some of those clips of Mrs.
Well,
Waters.
Let's hit the phone. Why don't we clean up the phone lines? And if we get time in this segment, we'll get to this clip of Mad Max. If not, we'll do it at the bottom of the hour.
Mad Max.
At the bottom of the hour.
Mad Maxine, ranking Mad Max. Member of the Financial Services Committee.
Chairwoman,
yes.
Chairwoman now.
Now
the Democrats have taken over. She's chairwoman.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot. She's the head boss there, but didn't realize what she voted for.
No idea.
That's good. But you know what? Sometimes you got to vote on it, see what's in it, and maybe she forgot to look back and find out what was in it.
I'm torn now. I thought for a while that the Democrats would push Ocasio-Cortez out of the party after those 2 years as up in their fame. But
it looks
now
like,
I'm thinking she makes people like Mad Max and Nancy Pelosi actually look almost halfway. Nancy at least, not so much Max. No. Not so much Maxine. But she does make Nancy Pelosi look almost sane based on some of the stuff that she said.
Yeah, she just didn't get the playbook yet. The playbook is you lie when you're running. And then when you're in office, you talk to your crowd, right? So you're gonna be a moderate, and then you're gonna vote real left. That she hasn't figured that out yet. So,
no.
All right, let's welcome Jerry and Kenmore. Jerry, how are you? By the way, if somebody wants to hop on board, 803-0930 star 930 on a cell phone and 1-800-616-9236. Jerry, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for taking my call.
You got
talking about the student loans and. And this week, Rush talked about the student loan forgiveness program, and I just wanted to make the comment that that program is a total scam. I mean, the people that are able to take advantage of that program are few and far between. I know you said that the federal government.
Oh, no, Jerry, we lost you.
Jerry,
you there?
Yep, you got him back.
Hey, Jerry? Yeah, sorry. You went dead for a second.
Okay. No, I just said that, you know, the federal government took over that program so they can start collecting the interest on all those loans. But the student loan forgiveness program, the way that works, a lot of people aren't aware of this, is that in order for you to take advantage of that program, you've got to transfer all of your student loans over to the federal government, and then the clock starts once you transfer the loan. And when you transfer the loans over to them, you're more than likely you're going to refinance your loans at a higher interest rate. But plus, if you've been paying on your student loans for the last 10 or 15 years, the clock for forgiveness restarts. And so, you know, I just want to make the point.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. How do you get to forgiveness, though? Because we're not the college planning guys. That's Jeff Boron. Do you have to, like, take a job in the government and a nonprofit sector, or do you have to get a certain age? Or
I think you've got to work for the federal government, right, Jerry?
It's the public sector. So
public sector, okay.
State government, municipality. In terms of the nonprofit, I'm not exactly sure.
Gotcha. Okay. So if you go to work for the government, you transfer your whole life there, your job, your security, your salary, your debt, and you completely give yourself up and beholden to the federal government, then they might actually forgive your loans. I see how it works. And then put it onto the backs of, because the government actually doesn't make any money.
No, right.
So that really means that what they do is they're not really forgiving the loan. They're just transferring the loan to everybody else that pays taxes.
They didn't want the interest, Jerry, by the way. They thought, as they often do, that government is more efficient than free market capitalism.
Yeah.
And every single time that little experiment has been tried, it's been a miserable failure.
Well, look what's happened to tuition. Through the roof.
Oh, tuitions are going through the roof, right? I mean, so you sign off. It's amazing. These kids think that they get a loan and they think they won the lottery. Like, good news, I got a loan.
Like, I'm voting for Bernie Sanders, ha, 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 because I've got $250,000 in debt and I'm a psychology major. Like, why is that my problem?
I know.
It should be your parents' problem.
The shame of it is these children are not being educated on the true cost analysis of college, right? The value of a college education and why am I going to college? Am I going to college because I'm going to go to Syracuse because I love the color orange? Or are you going to Syracuse because you're actually going to get a degree that's going to actually pay you something? The fact of the matter is there's a lot of colleges out there that are very cost effective. And I'm going to say something that's really nasty. Children can get a job in school. I had three of them. I had three of them when I went to college. Three. And guess what?
Now,
I had over a 3.5 grade point average.
Some of these schools, though, you're looking at Syracuse now at probably 50, 60 plus. I mean, you're, like, when we went to school, it was like, okay, three jobs, you make 10, 15 grand, you pay for it.
Well, but there's still
four to five times.
Well,
what
a Syracuse is, and that's a great point. A Syracuse is. Oh, geez, we're real long. Yeah. Sorry about that. But Syracuse is. But there's many colleges that are not. Jerry, you want to stick with us here?
That's true.
All right, stick with us here. We're going to take a real quick break. Mike Lomas, Gunwiggle Financial Guys. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Financial Guys. To reach Glenn and Mike now, call 803-0930, toll free at 800-616-WBEN, and cell calls are free at *930.
All righty, welcome back. News Radio 930 WBEN in South Florida, WFTL. And if you need a referral, we do have an office in the Palm Beach area down there, 561-614-2000, 614-2000, area code 561. And we've got a number of reps down there. And by the way, we also have a transition team in place. You know, many of our clients plan on trying to escape the state of New York if they don't fence it in.
If they can, yeah. They're doing quick.
Blasio and Cuomo, and they all, they're going to, we'll talk more about that as the show progresses here, but, you know, they'll set up toll booths, which you'll be able to climb into but not out of. So, but if you think you're going to be moving down there, a lot of our clients will actually have two planners, one here and one down there, and, you know, that way they go back and forth, and if they need help in both places, we're there. So, but of course, if you need us here, 633-1515, our flagship office, 305 Spindrift. If you want to hop on board, 803-0930, *930 on a cell phone, and 1-800-616-9236. By the way,
cost of attendance now for Syracuse, I looked it up throughout the break, $72,000.
Syracuse is, but UB is 16 grand, right? Buff State is 12. Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're going to go and get a degree that actually truly matters at one of these places, places at $60,000-$70,000 bucks. Okay, you're making hopefully an educated financial decision to say, I'm going to make it up. You are Doctor Who. Okay,
that's
but
right.
But yep. If you're just going for a generic, you know, a business degree
like from journalism.
From a professor that probably never ran a business, I would look at one of the institutions that are 12 grand, and guess what? If you get a part-time job, Glenn, you were delivering pizzas and painting curbs and doing all kinds of stuff in college. I had multiple jobs working at UPS and managing a retail store. Guess what? If it's 12 grand a year and you can afford to pay 5 or 6, you walk out with not that much debt, right? I mean, you can manage that. So I don't want to hear that I'm in so much debt. If you went and took $70,000 a year for a philosophy degree, shame on you, right?
That's right. I will say this, though, as an employer, and we've had the pleasure of building a number of different businesses. We have a lot of people that work for us. We've hired a lot of people. We don't necessarily care whether it's UB or Syracuse. I mean, even if it's Harvard, I mean, to be honest with you, you know, considering that, you know, Elliot Spitzer was there speaking to the ethics department of law, I'm not sure that's the best place for, an education either. But it doesn't matter that much anymore. So I think that's what kids don't understand today. What, you know, if you come out of college and you want, let's say you want to get in our business, which, by the way, we are hiring. So if you are graduating from UB or Buff State and you want to get into the financial services industry, whether it be, you know, through healthcare or life insurance or Medicare or full financial planning, if you want to be a full CFP someday, you know, we've got programs that you can get into if you want to call our office. But it doesn't matter if your finance degree is from UB or your finance degree is from Syracuse or your finance degree is from Cornell. It really, it's not like we're going to go, ooh, UB, sorry, kid. We got a kid at Cornell. It's not the case, because we know that the to be honest with you, the levels of education from university to university, the curriculum is pretty darn close. What it comes down to, really, in my mind, are those professors.
That's right.
Did that professor at Hilbert likely have real-life experience? Likely, yes. Did a professor at Harvard have real-life experience? Probably not.
Right.
I'm just being honest.
Yep.
And so, you know, those professors, it's funny because, you know, when we have a new employee every now and again that'll work for us, and they'll say something like, when do we do our formal annual employee review? Like, I'm sorry. Is that in our handbook? Because I don't remember. It's been a while since I wrote it. I don't remember seeing that in there.
That was chapter seven of the business. Yes.
That's right. Yes. Well, my college professor said that's something I should ask for. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Well, tell your college professor that in the real world, well, you know, you're being assessed every day.
Every day.
I'll tell you.
Every day.
We're not going to wait a year to give you a critique that something's not going right.
Yeah, there'll be no surprises. There'll be no surprises.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
we won't wait to the end of the quarter to let you know.
Well, you started off strong, Mary, but the last 9 months were a disaster for you. No.
Fell off in that last week.
Yeah. No. Yeah. That's how it works.
We were definitely on pace for a 4.0 this quarter, but oof,
yeah,
that last
sorry.
Week.
Yeah.
We're not going to do the whole show on this, but this Erie County Social Services Commissioner gets 5 years for rape. 5 years for raping somebody. There is a big problem with our judicial system with this kind of garbage, right?
Well, think about
5 years for raping somebody. You know what you should get? 500 years.
Yeah.
500 years. So I'll tell you what. If you laid a hand on one of my, you know, kids or somebody I knew, you would want 500 years, because I'd be waiting for you when you came out after five.
Yeah.
Shame
five
on
years.
It.
So think about this. You can be a Democrat assembly person or congressperson and get less than 2 years for soliciting sex from a minor. Two years.
2 years. Soliciting sex from a minor, 2 years. 2 years. That is unreal. It should be 200 years.
That's right.
200
he's out now, by the way.
Years.
He's
I'm
out
sure
about.
He is.
He
he'll
got
run.
Released already.
He'll be.
So.
He'll, are you kidding me? They'll
no,
find a
out.
Spot
he's
for
done.
Him.
He's done. He's served his 2 years. He's going to come up on. You know, I'm sure he'll be somebody's.
Soliciting sex from a minor,
that's
and
right.
he's out. What on good behavior? And
no,
what,
he
did
only
he even
got
do
two
the
years.
Two?
He got.
No, I know. He probably didn't even do the 2 years.
No, I don't think he did. He got 23 months. I think they let him out like 4 months early.
Is that unreal? I mean, if you're a police officer, how frustrating is that to arrest some scumbag like that, do your job, and know that they're back out on the streets in 3 to 5 years? This guy raped somebody. He raped somebody, and he's out in 5 years.
Yep.
5 years. I don't care. Put them all in the same jail cell and turn the air conditioning off. Garbage.
Yep.
Now, absolute garbage.
Now, if you accidentally let your pistol permit expire accidentally, and you have a pistol on you, then you're probably going to be facing more than 5 years.
Yes.
For a victimless crime, essentially.
I hope you don't have 8 bullets.
All right, God forbid you have 8 bullets. You're screwed. I do want to get to. I know we're going to go back to the phones, but I do want to spend a little bit of time, if we could. A great article, by the way. I'll repost it to all of our social media pages. This from Front Page Mag. com. New York Democrats pass a bill on pain, and you literally can't make some of this stuff up. The more you learn about this bill, the more you realize why they had to pass this garbage at 2:30 in the morning. This is what Governor Cuomo said about this, though, and then we'll circle back to this. The budget is probably the strongest progressive statement we've made.
At least he didn't lie.
Right?
That's the first time I've heard him lie.
I mean, unbelievable. So they pass this thing at 2:30 in the morning for no other reason except the corruption and the burning hatred for everybody in this state, is the article.
$2.3 billion shortfall, and they decided it'd be a good idea to increase the budget by another 2% this year. And give himself a 40% raise.
40%.
And I think everybody else got about a $10,000 raise, by the way. So he didn't leave any, you know, no stone unturned when it came to paying our elected officials a little bit more money.
He now is the highest paid governor in the country.
Of course
he
is.
The highest paid governor in the country because he deserves it. He's King Andrew Cuomo. 40% pay hike. 40% pay hike and $100 million to fund the political consultants. And they took that $100 million by taxing pain medications of people that are
love to hear the Democrats, by the way, driving around listening to the show.
Love
to hear you defend him. 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-9236. So we're not paying for Gold Star family members and their college educations. We are paying for illegal immigrants. We had a $2.3 billion shortfall. We had people, more people leave the state than come in. He gave himself a 40% raise. If you're
That's
a Democrat driving around going, this is great. This is great. I would love to hear from you.
Yeah.
I was going to go back to the caller about student loans. Sorry about that. Let's hit the phone
lines. Good call,
here.
By the way. Thank you for your call, because that was a good call as far as...
It really is true, though.
As if you need any more enticement, though, to go to the public sector. Let's see. They get higher wages, better benefits, full retirement, health care.
And now...
They're just suffering for employees. Meanwhile, in the private sector, we literally are suffering and dying for employees. The government's taking them all, and now they're enticing them with, we'll just waive your student loan as well. So as if they need any more incentive to go work for the government. Should be the opposite. It should be, I'm going to work for a government because I want to be a civil servant, and it should be at least on par with the private sector.
Yep.
At least on par with the private sector, not, you know, 50%.
First time in U.S. history, by the way, I think that we have more job openings than people that can actually fill the jobs. So,
yep. And just on Fox, there's a back to my point on college. I know I'm jumping around. Cory Booker is a Yale Law student graduate.
There you go. Speaking of somebody else who should be in jail, let's go back to Harry in Buffalo, or to Harry in Buffalo. How are you, Harry?
I'm pretty well. Two thoughts before I get to what I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. One is, if we want to make some money, we should license politicians.
Mm-hmm. License
plenty
them?
Of them.
License them. And if they lie, you'd revoke the license.
Well, there wouldn't be no politicians left.
The other thing is, if there's no inflation, why do we have these exorbitant increases in salaries?
We have inflation. I mean, we do have 2 to 2.5% inflation across the board,
which is healthy,
average,
by the way.
Good. Yeah. We finally have some wage inflation, you know, and the only reason for that is because the job market and then the labor market is so tight. You know, down to 3.8% unemployment and basically full employment has finally, after about 20, 30 years, caused real wages to actually increase. So that's good news, but not 40% increase.
No.
That's just stealing from the taxpayer.
No. And Harry, I mean, look at nobody says that, you know, a politician. Well, I look at years ago, you used to run as a politician, and your term was 2 to 4 years, and you were you do it to serve your community, you do it to serve your state, and it wasn't a full time career job, right? You've got people like Chuckie Schumer doing nothing else.
That's right.
But
clearly,
the public sector, right?
Based on his statements about friendlies, clearly.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even get to that. Oh, my God, I wish we had 3 hours. How dare friendlies not call Chuckie Schumer and let him know they were going out of business?
Yeah.
How dare them? Like, why wouldn't a business owner call Chuckie Schumer and say, hey, I'm sorry, I'm leaving today.
Yeah.
2-week notice is what we should have given New York State.
Yeah,
sorry, Harry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
All right, can I get the financial question ahead?
Sure.
You betcha.
Now, if you want, I'll mention companies and names, and if you won't, I won't.
Depends on what you're going to say about them.
I mean, you're looking to buy individual stocks? Is that where your question's going?
Stock.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you can mention a name.
I had a stock that spun off another stock.
Okay.
And the other stock now wants to me to increase the number of shares I have from 17 to 83 to equal 100 shares.
Yep,
right.
Like to trade them in round blocks, yep.
Okay, well, then, which is fine.
Yep.
But The closing price on the one stock was $29, which is something less than that right now. Mm-hmm. And that's what they want to pay, minus two and a quarter per share if I sell it.
Okay.
Okay, and that'll be at point of sale, which is less than what $9. But if they want me, if I buy the stock at the 83 shares that they want me to make up for the 100 to make it up to 100 shares, they want me to pay $36 per share. Mm-hmm. I find that spread questionable.
Yeah.
And what do you guys think about that?
Well, it sounds to me, based on, I was having a hard time with following all the numbers there, but you know, a normal markup or a limit on a markup should be about 5%.
Yeah, that would be in the high end. Yeah,
that'd be the high end. Yeah, that'd be the high. Usually, it's about 1%. So, if you're going to trade stocks like that on a commission basis, you can expect anywhere between 0.5% to 1% going in and going out. When you're looking at book entry, you don't have to do anything, just so you know. You don't have to buy 83 more shares, nor do you have to sell the 17 shares. They're trying to get you to round up to what they call a round lot, or 100 shares even as a round lot. But you don't have to do that. You can just hang on to the 17 shares you have and not take any action if you chose to.
Yeah, and Harry, of course, you're not going to add to the position unless you really feel like it's a good company, right? I mean, it's a good value for you, right? Just because they're asking you to buy it so you can round out the shares doesn't mean you necessarily want to do that. I'll tell you what, if you want to call our office at 633-1515, you can ask for Dave Mariocher or John Thurr. And really, those two specialize on a day-to-day basis on individual securities, and they can give you the, you know, their thoughts on that actual position. Do they like it, dislike it? Is it a buy, hold, sell? You know, they'll give you their opinion.
My question to you guys at this point is, it seems to me that the buy, sell in this instance is out of bounds.
Yeah, I would agree.
It might be.
Something doesn't smell right. Send us what they sent you, though, because oftentimes, you know, we'll hear one thing on the radio, and then we start to read through the actual material, and we'll find out it meant something different. So.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, give us a call. We'd be happy to look at it.
And you can even
pop by our office if you wanted to.
Absolutely.
There's always financial advisors around. We have an office full of, like, 20 different advisors. So you could always pop by if you wanted to, ask for somebody. They could take a quick peek at it, bring a statement with you, 305 Spindrift.
Do appreciate it.
Yep,
yeah,
you
no
got
problem
it.
At all.
All right, Harry.
Help you. No
all right, problem. We're going to take a quick break here.
We've got to play this clip when we come back with Maxine Waters.
I mean,
you can't make this up. I do, by the way.
I totally forgot about Friendlies, by the way. I totally forgot about Friendlies. So just so you know what Glenn was talking about, Chuckie Schumer was outraged that he wasn't told that Friendly's was closing three stores. I mean, who do these people think they are? I just,
that's right.
They're closing because you continue to tax them, Chuckie.
Right.
They're closing because of you. It reminds me, and I use this example all the time, of when the energy prices go up, fuel prices go up, and you've got people like Mr. Kennedy locally here in Cuomo. We're going to open up an investigation as to why they're higher in New York than anywhere else. Yeah. And then they look in the mirror and find out it's them. Why did Friendly's close? It's you.
Yes,
they can't sell enough Sundays, and they can't sell enough Friendly's ice cream cake to make up for your outrageous regulation and your taxes.
Hey,
so
maybe
they're
Mark
leaving.
Polenkars can show up and protest them and kick dirt in their face when they.
There you go.
Here's what Schumer said, though, and this is how out of touch these people are. You made the comment that Schumer has never been in the private sector, and it's obvious by the ignorant comments he makes. This is what he said about Friendly's. Quote, when a worker takes a job, they are often mandated to provide a 2-week notice upon quitting.
Mandated.
Really?
Mandated.
That's funny. I don't recall having a requirement.
We've owned a bunch of companies, Glenn. Did you ever mandate a 2-week notice?
No. Yeah, you can't leave. I quit. No, you don't.
No,
you get
no.
back to your desk right now, or I'm calling Andrew Cuomo and Chuckie Schumer, and you're in big trouble.
You get on that phone, or I swear to God,
that's
I will
right.
have polling cars here in 15 minutes.
Back to your desk, mister. Back to your desk.
How delusional are these people? They're just shocked.
They have no idea.
Totally
they have
shocked.
Never been in the private sector.
Totally shocked.
He probably really thinks that. Like,
yes.
Well, you can't leave without giving 2 weeks. So why,
they're
why
out of money. They're
like,
out of money. They have no money. They can't turn on the lights, right?
It's
they
like
can't
Kramer.
Pay the rent.
Remember the Seinfeld for Mr. Kramer. I don't even really work here. That's what makes it so hard, Mr. Kramer. Remember that? He just showed up for work. He's not even on the payroll. He's not getting paid. Mr. Kramer, it's as if you have no background in business whatsoever. He puts towards the report. Well, that's true. Well, I don't. I don't even really work here. He goes, and that's what makes it so tough.
You get back to your cubby hole, mister.
Hey, whoa, 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 whoa. Where do you think you're going?
Whoa.
Well, I quit.
No.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Oh, no. There was no. Oh, no. Chucky. The rule is there's a two-week notice. I don't even know what a two-week notice is.
Chuck Schumer said so.
I don't, but there's one in New York State. All right, we're going to take a quick break. 803-0930-930. If you're down south, 561-614-2000, by the way. That's our office number. If you need help, we do manage money for a living. 561-641-2000. If you're looking for a referral, 614-2000. 561, I'll say it real slow. 561-614-2000. And that's our Palm Beach office. And, of course, our flagship office here in Western New York, 633-1515. Use us as a resource. So we have a lot of fun with this show, Place Where Money Meets Politics. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle Financial Guys. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Financial Guys. To reach Glenn and Mike now, call 803-0930. Toll free at 800-616-WBEN. And cell calls are free at star 930.
Welcome back to The Financial Guys. This is Allie Lomas.
Nice job.
Killed it.
Nice job. Killed it. Give me five.
She'll be running the show by the end.
All right. Good job. And she runs off with my phone so she can play games.
Yes.
It's amazing how at seven she knows how to use the phone better than I do. Well,
oh, yeah. They all do.
Maybe I don't know if that's something to be said about my skills or hers.
Probably a bit of both. You know, that last commercial that played there, I don't know if you probably didn't pick it up in Florida because there's different commercials that run, but Ron's commercial there, I thought it was a great commercial. Just want to mention that, you know, he mentions that, you know, friends and family have the best of intentions, and we hear this all the time. And I'm glad he put that commercial together because I think it's really important. You know, when you're looking for financial advice, go to a financial professional.
Yes.
Right? If you're looking for medical advice, go to a doctor. If you're looking for legal advice, go to a lawyer.
I'm just kidding.
Seriously. No, there's some great lawyers.
Yeah, attorneys, not so much.
I don't understand why in the financial world, everybody thinks that like their neighbor, their brother, their uncle, their aunt has some sort of insight. Well, unless you're Chris Collins. But outside of that, I was a low blow. Sorry, Chris. But seriously, go to a financial professional. Put together a financial plan. Don't just act on advice. I heard from my buddy. I should maximize this or put more than that. And just be careful, folks. Deal with a professional. It's going to ask you questions and put together a plan that's tailor-fit for you. And if you'd like a free consultation, you could give us a call at the office. Again, 716-633-1515 or down in Florida.
The only real exception to that rule is if you have some, you know, inside friends and family plan with the Cuomo family you need some, and they're looking to do a project downtown. I mean, it pays because you will probably spend, you know, maybe 6 to 12 months in jail for the possibility of a few $100 million.
That's right.
Not a bad trade-off.
You two could keep a quarter of $1 billion and serve less than 2 years.
Not a bad trade-off. Not a bad trade-off. Yeah, by the way, Lynn Dixon will be in studio with us. Lynn, Erie County legislator and running against Mark Poloncarz, Erie County executor. So we'll open up the phone lines. We did invite Mark 3,000 or 4,000 times, and he has said on Twitter that he will be here with bells on, and I don't hear any bells. So. But he didn't say he was coming today, but he did say, I will absolutely be at that studio. Yes. I will, whatever you want, you bring it on. We'll debate whatever. But he never shows up, and he can't do it. But Lynn actually called us right back and said she would come in.
Next.
And she will be in for the next hour. So line up your phone calls, 803-0930, star 930 on a cell phone, and 1-800-616-9236. 3930 is the text number, by the way. 3930.
Just real quick, before we play this clip from the genius Maxine Waters, I just want to mention, I didn't have a chance to send this to you, Mike, but this is a great piece. I'll see if I can find it and put it back up. I printed it. Now I can't find the article to resend it to you. Scott Tanker sent this to us. He runs our 401k department. Title is, There's a Retirement Crisis in America Where Most Will Be Unable to Afford a Solid Life. And, you know, the study is pretty staggering. They look at the median that somebody has. Well, Vanguard did this study. Median 401k for a 65-year-old, $58,000. Not the average, but the median, meaning half the people have less than that, half the people that have more than that.
Right.
The average is about 192, still pretty low for a 65-year-old, but the 192 is skewed by some super savers. So when you look at the median, half of the people turning 65 have less than $58,000 in their 401k.
And do the math on that, folks. I mean, just do the math on $100,000. Right? If you're going to pull, let's say, 4% out or 3%, that's $3,000-$4,000 a year. I mean,
so they
How much, crazy. You know, really, you better have some nice pensions and some pretty decent Social Security to offset your
Here's what they figured. They said, let's add up your yearly payments in this example. Personal savings, just like you said, Mike, $3,000 a year. You were right on the money. Pension, $9,376. Average Social Security, $17,000. For a whopping retirement income of $29,440.
Wow. Better have paid off all those bills.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're living in New York, you can barely afford your property taxes for that amount.
Yeah, that's right. They've assured us they're not going up, but yet they're going to fee you with everything else, including medicine and everything else. They're increasing tolls. They're increasing – well, they don't call them taxes. Oftentimes they call them regulations. But
that's right.
Those regulations, 90% of the time, are just a tax.
So the best part is these clowns in New York City, they voted on themselves.
Yes.
Like, you're not going to be able to drive a car in New York City. You're going to be forced to take the subway.
Which is broken.
Just 65% of the weekly trains reach their destinations on time.
65.
One-third of you are not showing up to work on time in New York City.
So one-third of the time, your train will not be on time. So you really need to take the train before the train to get to you need to go.
It's the lowest rate since the transit crisis of 1970.
But their dream of blocking in Manhattan and keeping you there is coming true. They're going to do it through. They'll call it toll booths. But it will be a fence. It's a wall. It's amazing how supportive they are of a wall.
Yep. So they're going to tax the cars to support the subway, which doesn't run on time. It's amazing. Before we run out of time, as promised, we got to play this clip from Maxine Waters. So Maxine Waters, who is now the chairwoman of the Financial Services Committee, is holding a hearing on the Capitol. Bringing in all these bankers, right? He brings all these bankers, CEOs that now
to hold
you,
them
CEOs,
accountable. Hold them accountable.
They make a bunch of money, right?
Yeah.
So not a cheap day for these shareholders that own these companies, right? But the colossal ignorance of this woman to not understand and realize that the student loan industry was taken over by the government via Obamacare in 2010. You're the chairwoman.
She's driving the bus.
She has no clue. No clue. Listen to these questions. No clue. She's like, oh. This is great.
Thank you. Today, there are more than 44 million Americans that owe, this is student loan crisis, $1.56 trillion in student loan debt. Last month, this committee received testimony that last year, 1 million student loan borrowers defaulted, which is on top of the 1 million borrowers who defaulted the year before. What are you guys doing to help us with the student loan debt?
What are you doing?
Who would like to answer first?
Who first? Yeah.
Mr. Monahan, Big Bank.
Mr. Monahan,
Big Bank.
We stopped making student loans in 2007 or something.
Oh,
so you don't do it anymore. Mr. Corbett?
We exited student lending in 2009.
Mr. Diamond?
When the government took over student lending in 2010 or so, we stopped doing all student lending.
You know what, Max?
Small business.
Pause that for one second. You know what Maxine forgot to tell everybody, by the way, is that her husband was a major shareholder in a bank called One United that was bailed out to the tune of $12 million by the U.S. government, right? Yeah. And he profited by a few $100,000 off bailout. And you know darn well that family never gave a dollar to help with anybody's student loans. Scumbag Democrats. Scumbags.
No doubt. Another hour to go. If you want to keep listening, radio.com app.
We'll be back.
Florida.
The following is paid programming.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management. The Financial Guys and Independent Solutions are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, LLC. The political views on this show do not reflect the views of Peak Brokerage. This show is not intended to provide specific legal, tax, investment, or other professional advice. Please consult a professional for your specific situation. This radio show is for informational purposes only and is not intended to solicit or recommend any particular security. The information discussed is obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but its accuracy and completeness are not guaranteed.
It's time to talk money.
Watch out. Two misogynistic,
POTUS-loving, egomaniacal idiots are about to spout their
political views under the guise of a financial advice show.
It's the Financial Guys radio program with local financial experts Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas, member FINRA SIPC.
And if you don't think politics matters, for all you left-wing nutjobs that call in and say, you should talk money.
The market has been volatile for the Fed and trade. I think those two are political, huh?
Live from the WBEN studios.
Place where money meets politics.
We will talk some politics, a lot of politics. We do talk some money.
Now, here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
All righty, welcome back. News Radio 930 WBEN. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, Financial Guys. Jason, help me with the text board here. I got the up and down part. It's the not being able to read the left side part.
That's another bar at the bottom of the screen.
There we go. All right. So, Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, Financial Guys. This is the place where money meets politics. In studio with us for the next hour. Or do we get you for the whole hour?
Sure do.
Oh, let me. Is she on?
Yeah, you're on.
Good. All right, good. We have you for the whole hour.
Yes.
Yes. We built a wall, and she cannot escape. Lynn Dixon, Erie County legislator, running against Mark Poloncarz. We did extend an offer to Mark, and he has said on Twitter a bunch of times he's going to show up anytime we want him to, but he never seems to actually make it in.
Well, do you answer the door when he...
Somebody just texted. They said, well, I'm not sure there's enough space for Lynn, Mark, and all of his security team.
Yeah, that's true. He does have security detail.
And I didn't think about that. I'm like, so it's probably very disrespectful on my part to not, you know, consider the posse that he needs to bring to protect him, because he's a very, very, very popular and trans, you know, and a big-time figure here in Western New York. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. So 803-0930, star 930. You're willing to take phone calls, right?
Of course.
1-800-616-9236. And my little Allie is very energetic in the studio.
Seven is a great age. They still like you.
They do. I wish I could bottle up that energy. I mean, they just are it's awesome.
Okay.
I wish I could bottle it up.
We're going to clean up the phone lines here, and then we'll hop on the phone. If you want to get on with Lynn, 803-0930, star 930. Do not wait until the end of the show, folks. 3 o'clock, Esther Gluis, the tax lady, takes over. 803-0930, star 930. Let's just wrap up Wallace here in Wales. How are you, Wallace?
Hey, I'm doing great. Love your program.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
A question. I've got $100,000, and what if I put it all into the FANG stocks and the five stocks?
Well, I would tell you this, you know, make sure you understand your risk tolerance. When clients come into our office, we walk them through a pretty intense homework process to make sure that, you know, we're just not buying stocks to buy stocks. We're trying to figure out how it's going to fit into your overall picture. And I would also say that, you know, when we buy stocks, we don't necessarily look at the name of the stock. So we don't go out and say, oh, we're going to buy the FANG stocks. We're going to buy Nike because I saw somebody walk by with Nike sneakers. We're going to look at earnings. We're going to look at dividend yield. We're going to look at price to value, price to book. I mean, a number of different things that we run companies through to try to determine what companies we're going to put in our portfolio that we think are going to, you know, outperform the market or at least be in line with the market with less risk.
Do you have other money, Wally? I mean, do you have a core portfolio, or is like, do you have $100,000 in total?
No, there's another $25,000 on the side.
Okay, so typically before we start to get into individual securities, you know, we'd like folks to have a core of their portfolio, right? So typically, we're using an asset allocation as our core, which most of our models at Independent Solutions, our investment arm of the Financial Guys, it's a registered investment advisory company. It's got 170 years of investment experience there. But a lot of our models there are asset allocation models, right? So we use those as our core, whether they're mutual fund or ETF. They're going to cover all the different asset classes, large growth, large value, mid-sized companies, small, international, and bonds. And once you have a core developed, then you can go out, I think, and start to dabble in some individual securities or add a little bit more risk. But if you just do that part, that FANG stock part, as your core, then you run the risk of losing a huge chunk of money. Let's talk about the FANG stocks in particular just for a second, right? You got Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google, right? Everybody thought AOL would be here forever, right?
Right.
That was in the 90s. They're gone, though. Right? They're completely gone. Now, is Amazon going to be here forever, or are they going to be gone in 10 years? I don't know. Do you know? What about Facebook? Is Facebook going to be here in 10 years or gone in 10 years? I don't have any idea, right? So, you know, if we own maybe 40 stocks or 50 stocks or a portfolio that's diversified with mutual funds or ETFs where we have hundreds of stocks, well, then if an AOL goes out of business or an Amazon goes out of business or Facebook goes out of business, it's not going to have a crushing impact on our overall net worth and our portfolio. But if you own four or five stocks and one of those go out of business, then you're in big
trouble. That's a big hit. So, I think, Wallace, with the asset level you're talking about, you really need to consider way more diversification.
You're suggesting to put the 100 in the core and play with the 25.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's right. And even I'll tell you what we've also done with clients is put together a core portfolio. If you got 100,000, you put together a core portfolio. as that portfolio grows, maybe you take some of the gains and you start to do that with some of the stocks, right? That portfolio goes from 100 to 110. It doesn't mean you can't take, you know, five and put it into one stock and five in another. And that's, you know, starting to get you a core portfolio, diversification, but also buying you some of the positions that you might, you know, want to track and have some fun with. So, all right? If you need our help, use us as a resource, buddy. 633-1515, okay?
Will do. Good luck.
All right.
Thank you. Good question.
All right. Great question. All right. Let's get
just one quick one on the text board. Yeah. So I guess I'm working until I'll die. I'm 60. I only have 100 grand. It's all about how much you spend, right?
That's
so
right.
Retirement planning is all about what you're spending, not what your asset level is. You just got to make sure that your asset level can cover your spending. If you have a pension and you have a Social Security and your spending level is 30 grand and those two things cover 30 grand, well, then $100,000 when you're 60 may be okay.
Yeah.
It's all about putting those numbers into a financial plan. We have software that does it for us. And whether you're starting at 60, whether you're at 65 or you're 35, I would encourage you to come by our office, sit down with one of our investment professionals, and plug those numbers in.
Yes.
And if you have to work till 70, well, then maybe you work till 70. But it's never too late to plan. So I don't want you to think, oh, my gosh, it's too late for me. Don't think that way.
Yeah, as Mr. Hayflick always says, who's a certified Social Security claiming strategist, it's all about lifestyle.
That's right.
It's all about lifestyle.
That's right.
All right, Lynn, thank you so much for spending some time with us here.
My pleasure.
Glenn and I, we like to talk.
Oh, we're up against a break. Let's take a real quick
talk.
We've had gubernatorial candidates on and said, oh, we ran out of time. Sorry about that. So you can tell us, hey, I'm taking over the mic.
Okay.
You've had some experience in radio
TV,
so I don't think you'll have any problem pushing myself or Glenn out of the way. Let's talk about the county, okay? The county... I read an article the other day, 28% of Erie County residents actually live in poverty. And, you know, when I hear about, you know, the city's coming back and all this stuff, great stuff, and I think, you know, almost one-third of our residents live in poverty.
And that is a big concern. And I will say, and at the State of the County address, when we heard from Mark Poloncarz at the State of the County address a couple weeks ago, one of the things I mentioned after the fact was I did not hear anything about providing tax relief to residents, but I also heard nothing about how we're going to address the issue of poverty in Erie County and in Buffalo. It's a huge problem. It's in the rural areas, it's in the suburbs, first ring, second ring suburbs, and it's in the city. And I heard you guys talking before on my way in, but about the number of people that are coming into our community as well, and that we have so many needs already that need to be addressed with those already here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing to me that Mr. Poloncarz seems to focus his time on things like the paper bag or the plastic bag problem, which I didn't really understand we had a plastic bag problem. But, you know, when you look at things like infrastructure problems, and I drive around Erie County and I see, I continue to say my road in Alma is awful. It is awful. Bridges and all these real issues that need to be addressed. And I'm thinking, what is he spending his time on? Paper bag, plastic bags?
There are some very basics that we need to address, and infrastructure is key among them. I mean, we have 1,200 county road miles, which is more than some states have. So obviously, there's always going to be a need. Having said that, the county legislature every year would allocate additional funds for roads and infrastructure improvements that the county executive would not spend. And that seems to be, you know, security and the safety and security of residents and things like infrastructure seem like to be the very basic and most necessary things that need to be addressed right out of the gate. And he hasn't invested in the roads and in the infrastructure as we have expected him to.
Hmm. Well, it's safety and security of Mark Poloncarz and safety and security of our environment that he seems to be the most concerned about. Let me ask you a question specifically, Lynn, about the plastic bag. That ban is in place now, right?
So it's March of 2020 is when that takes effect.
But and that's a single-use plastic ban, a plastic bag ban, right?
Correct. And then there it's my understanding with the state is now the counties can opt in, opt out of the 5-cent tax on the use of paper bags. In the county legislature, we have put in a saying that we will not opt into the 5-cent tax on paper bags. It's in committee right now. We are going to try to move it out of committee this coming Thursday when we have session, and we will see what happens. One of the troubling things to me, though, I will say, is that in the legislature now, you should never have one person control. I mean, I think you need diversity of opinion. I mean, in my 29 years on this earth, and don't you dare laugh, Mike, or Glenn, but in my many years on this earth, I have never met somebody that I've agreed with 100%
of the time. See, I believe you. I wasn't laughing. I believe you.
Or has agreed with me 100% of the time. So you're not going to agree on everything, but that is where you get great ideas, and that's when you get compromised and those sorts of things. This
See, that is where we differ a little bit, because Glenn and I actually think we're always right.
Oh,
that's
okay. Right. And I'm sure you are.
If one could talk the other person to admitting that they're wrong, then we're on the same page, for sure. No doubt about it.
I didn't mean to cut you off. Let me finish your thought.
That's fine. But the problem is, so in the legislature now, we have members who are told what to do, and that's what they do. Mm-hmm. So we don't have diversity of opinion. We're not allowed to properly debate some of these issues. And so when we move this Thursday, my guess, and I will be the first one to say I was wrong, if they allow it out of committee and we vote on it and it passes, but we're going to try and move it Thursday. But my guess is, because I believe that this county executive wants that 5-cent tax, that he is going to ask of the majority legislators to allow it out of committee.
It's really amazing when you look at the little, you know, we've said this forever. Andrew comes out a few months ago, Cuomo, and says, we cannot continue to tax the wealthy people in the state. They continue to leave. Yet, literally, a week later, he proposes all these little taxes. He calls them regulations or fees. But yep. Another, like, that, I think it was Budweiser, one of the companies, said 5 cents a bag would crush me. That would crush us.
Here's the frustrating thing, though, because it's one thing to chase out the millionaires, right? If paying 5 cents a plastic or a paper bag is not going to change my life, Mike. It's not going to change your life. It's probably not going to change your life, Lynn. But it does for somebody who's at one of those 28% of people that are living on the poverty line, right?
Yep. The very people they claim to help.
That's who it impacts the most.
Of course.
Absolutely.
It kicks them right where it hurts, in the wallet, unfortunately. And it's just, to me, it's like there's never end. They create the scenario, right? They create the environment. They destroy the economic environment. And then they have to find more revenue somehow to chase everybody.
Well, then they act like heroes saving you, right? That's the thing. Right. Then they come around when it's election time with the turkey and say, hey, we're here to help you, you. We're here to be.
Yeah, raise money for the food bank. We can afford the plastic bags. I want to come back, though. I want to ask you more specifically, we come back from the break, about the language, specific language, this plastic bag ban, and whether or not it's limited to grocery bags or other bags as well.
Yeah, we're worried we're going to lose our dog pooper scooper up bags.
Just adopted a dog, so I feel your pain with that one.
All right, we can take a break. I also want to talk about increased spending, by the way. Erie County spending up quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Erie County spending up quite a bit, $170 million or $250 million, depending on how you look at it, since Mark took over office. Okay, 803-0930-star-930 on a cell phone, 1-800-616-9236. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle Financial Guys, Lynn Dixon in studio with us. Again, do not wait to the end of the show, folks. 803-0930-star-930 on a cell phone and 1-800-616-9236. Alrighty, welcome back. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle Financial Guys, News Radio 930, WBEN, the place where money meets politics. If you need us throughout the week, folks, 633-1515, 633-1515. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at FinGuys. And our website, thefinancialguys.com. And if you have any specific financial questions, and, you know, we've departmentalized. We have a number of different certified experts in our office. And I'll tell you, when it comes to Medicare, by the way, we've got certified AHIP certified reps, independent reps that can help, okay? Certified Social Security claiming strategists. These are not folks that just say, oh, I think we know a lot about Social Security. No, they are certified Social Security claiming strategists. Certified financial divorce analyst. If you're unfortunately going through a divorce, you can get help with the planning and understanding your numbers, and I would encourage you to call Ron in our office, maybe in line with or before the attorney. So a number of different departments, college planning, Jeff Boron, 633-1515, 633-1515. And in studio with us, Lynn Dixon. And Lynn, of course, running against Mark Poloncarz. Appreciate you spending some time with us. Glenn, I think you had a question right before we cut you off for the break.
Yeah, I just want some more specifics when it comes to this particular plastic ban. You know, it's a single-use plastic bag ban, right? And so everybody is looking at the grocery bags, right, as the single use. But where does that, what's the specific language? Where does that end? Or is it not, completely determined? Is it left open-ended?
And I'm not sure about that. I will say that I had stopped off at the small pharmacy in one of the more rural communities in Erie County, and I had asked them about it, and they said, yeah, it's going to impact them as well. So that's what we forget sometimes, is that we're thinking about the Tops and the Wegmans and the big grocery stores mm-hmm. that can probably absorb the cost a little bit more, but these smaller family-owned businesses that, you know, maybe they employ 10 people or whatever, and they're going to be hit by this too. So, again, you create a problem, and then you're creating the solution to the problem that you created.
I think they're also trying to get rid of the to-go containers too, right?
I'm sure that's next.
No, I think
the styrofoam.
The styrofoam, yeah.
The styrofoam, yeah. There's talk about that.
You know, it's a shame. So, the shame of it is it's really not a plastic bag problem. It's not a styrofoam bag. It's a litter problem. There's scumbags out there that throw their garbage in the ground. And that to me, I've actually seen people throw their garbage. It's a true story. I saw somebody take a McDonald's bag, throw it out his car window. I pulled over, picked it up, and at the next stop, I knocked on his window and threw it in his car and said, you must have lost it, right?
But
that infuriates me, right? That's what we should do. Look, you want to stop the problem? Yeah. How about a $500 fine if a police officer sees you throwing a garbage bag out your window? How about that?
Yeah, but heavier fines for littering would be a definite plus and step mm-hmm. in the right direction. You want to raise money, go that direction. But I guess getting back to the bags for a second, I mean, I can think of a lot of single-use bags. I can think of Ziploc bags for, you know, kids' lunches. I can think of, you know, doggy bags. We all have, all three of us have dogs, right? So, we have those little roll-up bags that go in the little thing that attaches to the leash, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not picking that up in a paper bag. I'm just telling you. Like, that's where I have to draw the line there.
Don't walk in my neighborhood. Don't take your dog for a walk in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
This is is a serious issue.
Yeah.
I mean, but so here's the thing. But in all seriousness, though, when it comes to Mike is right, it's a littering problem, right?
Yeah.
It's not
mm-hmm.
a, oh, my God, these plastic bags are evil. It's like the gun debate. Like, there's no guns walking around the streets killing people. It's not people pulling the triggers.
That's right.
I own 100 acres in Alden, so I have the fortunate privilege of having a nice piece of land. I can tell you that when it comes to litter, it bugs me. But I'll tell you, the number one thing that I find on my property are balloons. They're not plastic bags. They're not plastic bags that get blown there. And maybe, I guess I'm not against the grocery store, I guess, but they're balloons. I mean, so, and what do? Well, I walk over wherever bush it's stuck in, and I pick it out of the bush, I stick it in my pocket, I take it back to the campsite, I throw it in the garbage. It's not the end of the world. You just have to pick it up and clean it. It bugs me, but I'm not saying go out there and, like, destroy kids' birthday parties because we have to ban all balloons now. I'm not a liberal by any means, but maybe I shouldn't say this because maybe that's the next thing that'll be on the list. But.
Well, you need to look at. Here's all as I expect is these companies give a two-week notice to New York State.
Because
if the plastic bag company thinks they're just going to walk out of New York State when this is all over without some kind of a notice, can I ask another question about, if you look at Erie County, by the way, employment growth smaller than it's been in 5 years. And I find that really hard to believe. I mean, I know that New York State is struggling. People are leaving, right? But you hear so much good about the waterfronts coming back and all this stuff. And then you say, unemployment growth smaller than it's been in 5 years, yet if you look at the rest of the country, explosive growth, really, right?
Yeah, so I don't want to knock the success that we're having in the city and sort of the renaissance that you're seeing there, but I will say this. In Erie County, we have not gained population, right? We haven't, I mean, so some new folks come in, but then people are leaving, and the people of means, the ones that are the biggest, that pay the most in taxes, are the ones that are usually most mobile. So they're the ones that are able to vote with their feet. So they leave the state and that puts us in even more difficult position. So we have not gained population. And I don't know if you recall, there was an article about a month ago in the Buffalo News by Dave Robinson that basically addressed this whole issue too of jobs, that there are these jobs and that there's nobody filling them, that we have some issues here, and we're not gaining population because the climate we've created here of taxing you at every turn, of making it difficult to start a business here. We tell you no 9 times before we tell you yes when you're trying to start a business here. And we keep treating, I will say, the State of the County address, the county executive mentioned the word taxpayer one time, and it was with a tone of disdain. He said, not everybody that lives in Erie County are taxpayers. yet he was proposing all these programs
that would cost money.
but
that's part of the problem, Lynn.
Yeah,
to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, but he was proposing proposing all these programs that would cost money. And I said, well, who do you expect to pay for these programs but for the taxpayers that you evidently disdain?
Well, it's that magic tree they have in Albany.
We
got one in Erie County and one in Albany.
I'd like to plant one in my backyard.
Yeah, well, the magic tree actually just gave Mr. Cuomo a 40% raise.
That's right.
Look at that. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll hop on the phone lines. John in Rochester, you're up on deck first. 803-0930-930 on a cell phone, 1-800-616-9236. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle Financial Guys, Money Weeks Politics. We'll be back. All righty, welcome back. News Radio 930 WBEN. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle Financial Guys. And you need us throughout the week, folks. Money Meets Politics, 633-1515. But Monday through Friday, managing money and independent, whether we are looking for certified financial planners, registered investment advisors, chartered financial analysts in our office. So our team is continuing to grow, and a number of different certifications, again, retirement planning, Medicare planning, Social Security planning, college planning, estate planning, 633-1515, 633-1515. In studio with us, Lynn Dixon. And Lynn, again, thanks for spending some time with us. I appreciate it. We're going to go to the phone lines here in a second, but we can answer some of these text messages. Liberals do not care about the taxpayer or legal citizens. It does seem like New York State cares more about illegal than legal.
Well, if you talk to some of our state lawmakers and what the budget process, especially this year, was like, it's gotten pretty out of hand. And I think that's what happens when you see one party rule. You get to a point where there's this belief that we can do whatever we want to do. And then, of course, downstate kind of drives the discussion of the day. And I don't think people realized how much the Senate, controlled by Republicans, that was controlled by Republicans, how much they prevented or how much they stopped. But now that's under Democrat control. So, but I think next year, I mean, a lot of these lawmakers, if they're being forced to vote a certain way and they're up for re-election next year before they were able to, if they're in a moderate district, it's going to be a tough sell for some of them to be reelected if they took some of these hard stances.
Mm-hmm. And they'll just lie.
That's true.
Or no one will call them on it. See, that's the frustrating part with me is that they'll do these press conferences, they'll do these news things, they'll do these whatever speeches, and nobody will say to so-and-so, I'll give you a local guy. Let's talk about Sean Ryan for a second and Chick-fil-A. Has any reporter in Western New York yet asked Sean Ryan why it's okay to discriminate against a company for their religious beliefs? Has anybody asked that? I'd like to know the answer. Mm. Do you know, Lynn? Has anybody asked that question of Sean Ryan?
I don't think so, Glenn. And I will say, you know, I worked in the media for 22 years, and I think one of the unfortunate things that we're seeing nowadays is that I think a lot of local media members do their best with what they have, but they keep adding shows, they keep adding content, they want you to write for the web. And now, for example, in television, I always had a photographer that I would work with so I could concentrate on the reporting side of it. There would be a photographer who would concentrate on getting the shots and editing. But now people are doing it all themselves, so they're just slamming things together. So, for example, if I'm issuing a press release and they take the press release and they make that the news story, well, if I'm writing a press release about myself, I'm going to make myself sound pretty darn good, right? So you should go to the other side and ask them what they think of what I just said. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them don't really have the time anymore, and they don't have the time to put the research and the effort in to dig deeper. So what we're seeing is a lot of things that are voted on at the state level. And,
sure, but I'm not even talking, Lynn, about – I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm not talking about, like, investigative reporting James O'Keefe, like undercover, he's taking months to do stuff. No. I'm saying somebody pick up the phone, call his office and say, I'm calling from channel fill in the blank here or the Buffalo News. I'd like an official statement from Sean Ryan as to why it's okay to discriminate against a Catholic or a Christian organization a business that just has Christian beliefs.
Or how about this? Stopping over Mark's office and saying, who actually dropped off the package, Mark? We've been calling him out on Twitter saying, look at, because he said somebody dropped a very intimidating packet off, a threatening package at my office. And we said, boy, there's got to be like 1,700 cameras there. We better release the footage of who did that because there's a homicidal maniac loose in Erie County, right? It blows my mind that outside of Dave McKinley at Channel 2, nobody picked up the story.
And it is frustrating. And I have seen a lot of things with this county executive that he seems to just sort of get away with, that nobody really calls him out or questions him on it. The whole security detail, they did find that it was this brother and sister that were asking for help in some family court issue. And by the way, those are packages that we receive on a daily basis.
Yeah, but shame on him. Shame on him. I could not imagine coming on this show.
How about ask the question?
But I couldn't imagine coming on this show and saying, Glenn and I got a threatening package on after the show on Saturday, knowing full well that we didn't even open the package. Right?
Well, and there are still two deputies that are, he has 24/7.
Yeah.
Security.
Well, he also said he was threatened at his house, but nobody knows what that threat was.
But how about this for a question? I mean, now that we know that the package was stuffed with paperwork, well, how about the question is about this? Why did you perceive that package as threatening? What about that package to you made it threatening? Maybe ask it of the police department or the sheriff's office who recommended the security. I'm just curious.
Well,
what
I don't know
about that package? Yeah. I'm serious. What about that package, outside of the fact that it was hand-delivered and didn't have a return address, was suspicious? Were the papers suspicious? No. Were there wires sticking out of it? No.
No.
Did white powder
fall out? It was somebody looking for help.
You do have to pass through security also in the Rath building on the first
was
floor.
It X-ray?
There's metal detector. Yeah. There are sheriff's deputies that you have to get through before you even make it to the elevator. I mean, there are a lot of questions, of course, surrounding that. And I don't know where the investigation stands. Presumably, if he still has 24/7 security detail, there is still an investigation underway. I don't know if there was a police report filed, if anybody sought that.
These are not your words. These are mine. As a taxpayer, I want my money back. It smells really, 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 really fishy to me. It smells like Mr. Poloncarz was looking for attention.
He was attention jealous. That
he got, by the way, because the mainstream media picked up the story of a threatening package. They just forgot to tell the other side of the story, which is it really wasn't threatening. And oh, by the way, us as taxpayers are driving around in multiple big gas-guzzling SUVs as he's got the audacity to sign some climate change thing into play, but he's driving around in big gas-guzzling SUVs, and that's okay for Mark, because Mark's, I guess, more important than I am, or my daughter, or my family. The environment, by the way, can be destroyed by his gas-guzzling SUVs, just not mine.
There's two deputies that presumably have been taken off of whatever other duty, or detectives that have been taken off of whatever other duty that they had been assigned to, to provide him 24/7 security. So, hopefully the media, if this continues, they'll scratch their heads and they'll either seek the police report, ask what is the status of the investigation, if there's something seriously that was threatening his life,
of course
I get it. But to date, what we heard about this threatening package, it doesn't match up.
Right. Well, I won't hold my breath in the media, but let me get back to Chick-fil-A for a second, because you're in the county government, right? The airport is in the county, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got a New York State assemblyman pressuring the NFTA, I guess, along with Delaware North, to drop Chick-fil-A from the airport because they made a contribution to support a traditional marriage, which to me, everybody should be outraged in Western New York. I don't care if you're Christian, Jewish, Islamic, doesn't matter. The fact that you have a politician discriminating against a private business based on their religious beliefs is illegal, actually, on a federal and a state level, from what I understand. And yet, apparently, he's going to get away with it. Is there anything that you guys are discussing in the Erie County Legislature about this, or have you discussed this at all?
I mean, we've discussed it amongst ourselves. We haven't discussed it in terms of putting forth some sort of legislation resolution. It really, Delaware North is able to make that decision. And typically, I don't think Delaware North likes to mix it up politically. They don't like to kind of get involved in controversial things. And my guess is that that was part of their decision to just say, we're going to walk away from this. And the NFTA, as well. You're right in terms of, I don't know what, if I took a ride down Transit Road, I probably 99.999% of the businesses there, I would have no idea where their politics aligned or what their personal views were, or quite frankly, what their faith is. I wouldn't know that. I think Chick-fil-A and Hobby Lobby were definitely two businesses that have come under a lot of scrutiny because of what their personally held beliefs are. But in terms of the county legislature and what we're doing in the county, there's not a lot we can do if it's Delaware North making those decisions and then the NFTA driving that. I think Assemblyman Ryan came out and made enough noise to cause Delaware North to back up.
That's a shame. Just because we need in Erie County new businesses, right? And I think everybody forgets about it's not just, the person that Chick-fil-A is going to hire to bring out the chicken or to make the chicken. It's the architects, it's the plumbers, it's the lawyers, it's the financial planners, everybody else that's been off business that's now going to get hurt. And we said this on our podcast, that's why places like Dallas, Texas work, right? Because companies are there. And, trust me, when the Buffalo Bills are not here 10 years from now because they cannot fill the suites, which is where the revenue is, they will look everywhere except for people like Mr. Sean Ryan, who kicked out companies like Chick-fil-A, which could have very easily occupied a suite or two in Ralph Wilson Stadium.
Yeah, it's one thing, obviously, to discriminate against the hiring of somebody or the serving of somebody because of where they stand or what they represent is one thing, but I don't believe that was ever been the practice or that ever has been the practice of Chick-fil-A.
Yeah,
no, definitely not.
Let's hit the phone lines here, if that's okay. 803-0930-*930. Let's go to John in Rochester. How are you, John?
Hey, Glenn, Mike, I'm doing good. Lynn, you sound good. I'm liking what you're having to say. I got a question, a couple things. One, the plastic bag thing. I know a guy, he used to be a chemical engineer, and one of his specialties was paper mills. And, with the paper bags being more prevalent now after this ban on plastic bags, he said that paper mills are one of the most environmentally hazardous manufacturing processes that you can have. Very dirty manufacturing process. And number two, the storage of plastic bags are very easy to do. You can their weight is light. You can store a lot of them as far as transporting them versus paper bags. So from an environmental standpoint, it sounds to me like the paper bag issue is a misnomer. It shouldn't be an issue.
Well, John, when you started the conversation off by saying you had a guy, I thought you were going to hook us up on the black market with plastic bags after the legislation went through.
After the ban.
I got a guy. I got a chemical engineer guy. We can make them anyways. We can sell them. Sorry, John.
Wait, the other point is...
You didn't find that real funny, huh, John?
No.
You're laughing, Mike.
All right, I'll laugh. I'll laugh at myself. It's a good point, though, John. You know what? Like any other government, involvement, right? They get involved. They think they're going to help, and the outcome is different, right? So now we're going to cut down trees to make plastic paper bags, right? That should be good for the environment.
And, as you had mentioned about perhaps increasing the fines for littering, I don't know if any of you have ever been involved with these spring cleanup, community cleanups that we do.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a lot of garbage. And as you mentioned, there's, with the McDonald's guy that threw his fast food out the window or the bags, that is an issue. And I think we can't keep saying people have to take responsibility for their actions, too.
Yeah, I agree. John, you got another question for?
Yeah. Regarding sanctuary cities, I'm really miffed by the crickets in the media about the legality of these so-called legality of these sanctuary cities. I know Rochester is a sanctuary city. I assume the city of Buffalo is. And what really peeves me is the fact that this is lawless. As far as our federal immigration laws are. And the second part is Cuomo has instituted what he calls the Liberty Project, which gives illegal immigrants first-class legal representation against the federal government.
That we have to pay for.
Did
you
see
the best part about it?
By the way, did you see the White House suggesting that we take these illegal immigrants and give them to the sanctuary cities.
Oh, and they're outraged. They're outraged. Yeah. Like, oh my God, this is political retribution. This is using, Isn't that what you want, though? I thought that's what you wanted. You're the ones letting them go.
That's right. Any comments on that, Lynn?
There was actually an article in Time recently that did acknowledge that the immigration is a serious issue in our country. And I will say this. I live in Hamburg, and there's a social studies teacher at Hamburg Middle School who every year for the last several years has hosted this naturalization ceremony at Hamburg Middle School, and all the seventh graders go and watch it. And it's an unbelievable thing to see. You have immigrants from all over the world that are sworn in as American citizens. Mm. And it's really neat to see. And I would think that somebody coming in would want to be part of this dream, of this this American experience. But we can't overload our – we have – as we can go back to the whole 28% living in poverty again.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot to take care of already. And I would say absolutely our country is made up of immigrants that have come here, that have gone through it the right way, that have put their heart and their sweat and their great work ethics that have really built this country. But, we are a nation of laws.
Yeah.
And it's
amazing that we are not allowed to sneak into anybody else's country, but there's a whole group of folks that thinks it's okay to sneak into here. And it's amazing when you start off into the United States of America making an illegal act. Right? I mean, if they start out breaking the law, why don't we just allow them to rob grocery stores or rob banks or rob somebody on the street? I mean, where do we draw the line?
And this is obviously a more of a federal issue, but we do need to address this issue at the national level. And instead of continuing to pass the buck, come up with a comprehensive plan that is not going to be a perfect fit for everybody, but will resolve many of the issues that we have right now that aren't being addressed.
Yeah, I get it. Hey, John, thanks for the call. I got to let you go. I got a plan. Here's the deal. Folks like Poland Cars, Nancy Pelosi, move a bunch of them into your house first. Try it out. See how it works out. Let me know if it's working out. Then I might be a fan of it, right? We're going to take a quick break here. Can we take a really quick break, Frank? Frank, real quick break. We come back. We'll pound through the phone lines. By the way, we forgot to mention, got $100 million, by the way, to fund campaigns now in New York State.
Yep.
$100 million in the budget they put so they can fund their own campaigns. Just what they need, more money.
Yep.
All right, real quick break here on News Radio 930 WBN. Welcome back, News Radio 930 WBEN. You've got the financial guys, Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle. This is the place where money meets politics. If you need us throughout the week, folks, we do manage money for a living. I have a ton of fun with this show. And we get to work with people that think like us. Yes, our clients are conservative. And it is an absolute pleasure to be able to show up at the office, our flagship office, 305 Spindrift in Williamsville, to be able to work with people like us. 633-1515, 633-1515. Real quickly, a text came through. Chick-fil-A can be in business or privately owned building, but not in the airport because it's publicly funded. Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays. People need to eat on Sundays, too.
Yeah, well,
okay, well, that's not true.
They're not proposing that it's the only restaurant in the airport.
Yeah, that's right.
Chick-fil-A's in a lot of airports, including the Baltimore airport, which I travel through quite a bit, and I can assure you
you'll survive if Chick-fil-A is closed on Sunday. Yeah,
but it's the longest line, though. But in all seriousness, at the Baltimore airport, the Chick-fil-A line is the longest line. It used to be Chipotle. That was the longest line when it was the hottest thing until they started making people sick. And then they have never really come back.
It's funny how that business model works. Yeah. Conservative thinking people buying conservative. Oh, that's
But you know what though? It's funny because even people that are not conservative, even
they
people
still eat
that are,
it.
They like it. And you know, in fact, I read somebody.
You can't help. It's a Seinfeld. Remember when?
I can't help it. The soup guy, right?
No. The chicken. Remember when Kramer got
chicken? Yeah, with the lights outside the window, they're keeping him up all night. Yeah.
Was keeping up their whole apartment complex, but he was addicted to the chicken.
Just back to the sanctuary city though. Just for a real quick question before we go back to the phones here. Erie County is a sanctuary city, correct? Or is it not? I don't recall.
No, Erie County is not a sanctuary.
But I think the city of Buffalo is.
Sanctuary County, but I believe the city of Buffalo, I believe the mayor was,
So the city is, but the county is not.
Yeah.
Because I know like Palm Beach County, where our other offices in Florida, they are, the whole county is a sanctuary county.
Okay.
I didn't know if that was the same with Erie County.
Okay. No. Mm-mm.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. We're going to welcome Rambo Jim in North Tonawanda. How are you, Rambo?
yeah, guys, you know, it's I'm so frustrated because the people that supposedly on our side, and we bear responsibility ourselves for this, we cry and bitch about Poland cars and you know, the entire list of left-wingers. But we are willing to let them always strike the first blow. Guys who play golf at the country clubs don't understand the concept of be first. What do you guys think would have happened if some federal judge would have told Abraham Lincoln that he did not have the authority to suspend habeas corpus? You think Abraham Lincoln would have sat back and let federal judges get in the way of preserving the union? Whether you think Lincoln was right or wrong.
I will say this. You have a point there, Jim, and we have a serious problem in this country where every single thing that this president does, it just gets thrown into a court in you know, San Francisco in the Ninth Circuit, and they all get overturned, right? Every single one of these cases that have been blocked him from, you know, the ban from certain countries, that blocked him from, you know, enforcing immigration laws, blocked him. Every single one of these things goes to the Supreme Court and gets overturned at that level because the president does have that power to suspend immigration. He does have that power to shut the border down. It's clear that he has that power. But yet these courts and these judges, these liberal judges, are trying to rewrite the laws, and they just, unfortunately, cause issues and hold them up. But you're absolutely right.
Which is the whole point, right? To hold them up.
That's right. Exactly.
Final thought, Jim.
The solution to the problem is very simple. President Trump has to come out and say, I'm commander-in-chief. I'm president. The military backs me. Now, you judges, you left-wing judges, sit down, shut up, or I'm going to send my
people. Jim, what he's doing, though, is actually good, and that is he's appointing a record number of judges to lower and appellate courts, not to mention the Supreme Court, which is probably one of the biggest and most successful things that he's been able to do at the presidential level because he's been, unfortunately, not been supported
many
by
folks,
his own Republican Party.
Yeah, many folks didn't like Donald Trump, but that's the number one reason they voted for him. Hey, we've got to let you go, Jim. We're long here.
Lynn, before we go to the phones, let me just ask you this. What is the number one priority you think? So you win, let's say, you're the new county executive. What's the first thing you work on? What's the most important thing that you need to roll up your sleeves right away and get to?
So, boom, 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 I think that, you know, Mark Poloncarz has increased spending exponentially. So that ends.
My understanding, by the way, not to cut you off, but my understanding is it's between $170 million and somewhere like $250 million since he's been in office.
He was handed a county that was in very good fiscal shape. We have $120 million in fund balance. That tells me that we're charging you too much to begin with. So we give taxpayers some relief, and we get to work on the infrastructure. We become more aggressive in addressing many of those infrastructure road needs because it's when you leave it for too long, it gets worse, and then it gets more expensive to fix, and that's what's putting us in a really
It's funny,
position.
One of the text messages, I can't even drive down Maple Road without dodging potholes, but we have money for illegals. Well,
that's right.
But to your point is, you know, you look at some of the infrastructure issues. The other thing what I'm baffled about is why we don't continue to, lower taxes, but really I think our biggest asset is the Canadians that are coming over and spending records amount of money. And we got to continue to make sure our roads and our bridges can get those people over here, right?
Yeah, so that they're not dodging potholes on their way to, you know, the mall or the Galleria or whatever. We also have to create the climate for small businesses to be successful here. The ECIDA, most of the appointments on the ECIDA are Mark's appointments, and you know they've not been particularly friendly. They've not been business friendly.
So the Erie County Development Agency, right? The is not friendly to business. Go figure.
It really hasn't been. I've heard from so many business people in this community that are so frustrated right now with the ECIDA as well.
Well, when you have Poloncarz, I mean, he literally is attacking businesses. He's attacked ours. I mean, he's gone online and slandered our business.
He's out in front of New Era Cap, right? I mean, I can't imagine a county executive doing that to a business that has been the fabric of this community for years.
And has they've done a lot of great things in this community, and it's unfortunate for those workers, and I don't blame them for being out there and protesting and being upset. But I will say that as a leader, the county executive should be reaching out to New Era and trying to sit down with them and say, what can we do?
What can we do? What?
No, the county executive should be creating environments so that New Era doesn't need to believe in the first place.
Yeah,
that's the problem is we're always reaching out to these businesses after the fact. They say, you know what? The environment here has gotten so bad. It's so bad here that I can't possibly keep my doors open. Then we reach out to them and say, what can we do to keep you?
Wait a minute. Yeah,
by the way, you should have given me a two-week notice. Right?
That's right.
But I will say this.
That's right.
And on top of that, though, they picked their winners and losers, right?
That's
Tesla
right.
just laid off people all across the country. I didn't see Mark
That's
down
right.
there at the waterfront, holding a little campaign rally for himself.
And I haven't seen much noise in the Buffalo News either about the $500 million that was spent there. And I'll tell you, as a representative of the South Buffalo, Lackawanna, Hamburg. I've been trying to get in there to see what they're doing, and I can't get in. They won't let us in.
That's amazing. County legislator, they will not let you in.
They don't want you
to see the seven people working.
They have to stage it. For those people that have actually gotten in, what I have heard is they've actually staged it all and like hidden things behind curtains and stuff like that. Literally. They've literally like put boxes in place to hide all the areas that are not actually productive. So,
Lynn, unfortunately, we're not going to get to all the phone calls. Julie and Time, I am so, so, so sorry. Do you have a phone number, website you want to plug?
Well, for my campaign, it's votelynn.com, and it's Lynn with an E, vote LYNNE.com.
All right. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. We did extend, again, the invitation to Mr. Polenkars. He was apparently too busy to return our call. But you're always welcome to come in, Mark. Again, I know you've got a tough attitude on Twitter that you say you come in anytime, but you never show up. All right. On behalf of Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, we're the Financial Guys. Need us throughout the week, folks. 633-1515. We'll see you next week. God bless. Take care. And have a great week. Make it a good one.